Welcome to episode 14 of the Judgmental Podcast. I'm here with George Busher, my co-host. Hello, George.
Hey, hey, hey. How are you guys doing? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you guys, wherever you are. I'm back.
Not only is George a co-host, he's also the music director and creator.
That's right. I have the one-man ghetto band for super cheap audio sound effects. Fortunately, the advantage is we get a new theme tune every single time.
I know. This was a bit different. We're mixing it up. I like it. Yeah, I know. I like it. It's going to be a staple of our show. So this is episode 14. It's been good. I think George has been on board since about number 5, I think. I keep promising to get Colin on, and I have chatted to Colin, and he's definitely going to on board for it to do a Origins episode, but I'll do it at some stage. But at the moment, we've got a big show today. George and I are going to be talking about the Kickstarter backer created heroes.
That's right.
Those who backed us in the Kickstarters, both of them, will probably know that we had a couple of a highest level bid where you could actually design a hero with the design team. And we've had, so technically, 4 heroes in that category. One of them's a bit special, which is the Brock one, which I'll talk about later. The other 3 are Skull, Cavado, and Barnascus. So we're going to just talk about how the process, how it worked, and then also talk about the characters themselves, how we play them, what we like about them, what they do, and stuff like that. So a bit of more in-depth discussion. And we'll talk about our recent games, what we're doing, and I'll give a bit of a background and also a sneak peek into the coming patch number 7.
So lots to talk teasers. About.
I know. So we have actually released some of the stuff from the patch, haven't we? So we've talked about Victor's been, because the map came out, Scorched Earth, we then had an issue where people were playing with Dorga Khan and playing with Shrine of Eldir, and we hadn't really, the rules weren't finalized. So we released interim versions, and then we patched them and we released them early. So, and then the Dorga Khan are summoned because everyone wanted to play Victor. So, anyway, so we've done a few sneaks, but it is actually quite a large patch. We're getting more data and feedback than we ever have, simply because the game is much bigger than it's ever been, and it's growing really fast, so it's great. So it's a sizable patch with some really good stuff in there. I think, like, there's a lot of them that are just going to be small tweaks that just make a bit more sense. One of the themes, the big thing I'll say right now, George, is one of the themes of the patch is evening out some of the spikes, some of the damage spikes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a theme that we're just trying to take the slight edge off the swinginess of some of the abilities of some of the heroes and make them a little bit more consistent, but cutting off the extremes at
the top
both
and bottom
ends.
End a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of the Astarial treatment, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I think we've picked a few more and done that to them. There are still some notable exceptions which I think we're going to always leave. It's part of their character. It really seems to work, but there are a few that we have this time decided to cut them a little bit.
I'm crossing my fingers for my favorite Orc Shaman.
And that would be Haxar, I'd say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hopefully he gets touched in the right places.
All right, so the sneak for our listeners is that Haxar is patched. He's one of the patched heroes. Okay.
You heard it here first, folks. Haxar is getting patched. Very exciting.
Well and truly. Cool. So that comes out 1st of July is it's live. It's patch number 7 now. For those who don't know, rulebook gets released. It's 1.6, so 1.7 would come out. We tick it over every time. Normally, the core rulebook, it's nothing major. It's normally just clarifications that have become embedded into the rules. We do have an FAQ section of the rulebook now, so that gets updated. So we'll have that. We sometimes do, like we introduced the curse changes. That was a big core rule change a few patches back. Yeah. So we do things like that every now and again, but for the large part, it's just making the rule book tighter. We've got a pretty good rule book, I think, at the moment, but just tweaking it every 3 months.
Yeah, plus as more games get played, you discover all of these niche situations where particular wordings on particular rules kind of interact with each other in a bit of a wonky way, and then you can just straighten it out and clarify it.
Yeah, exactly. And we are getting more and more War Machine players, particularly in the States, some of the hardcore War Machine players. And those who play miniature gaming will know that War Machine players are pretty meticulous with their rule wordings and
That's
interpretations.
right. Yeah.
So they
Yeah, they
are.
will definitely try to break the game in any way possible.
Yeah, and they are. It's good, it's healthy. I think nothing's been bad, but they are really testing us in areas, and we're just clarifying them. So that's really good. I think it's a part of mature game. It's part of the journey, and yeah, we're really grateful for the feedback. So that's good. So there's a few of those as well, but there are some sizable, really cool changes coming on. I can't wait to get out. So it's funny because all the private games we play, we use the playtest
Use the
rules,
patch. Yeah, you're
and it's
essentially living in the future.
so much fun. And then when you go back to the without it, you think, oh, it's actually a good test for us because it tells us whether we're doing something positive. Because when we are forced to stream with the old rules, we find ourselves going, oh, I wish the patch was in, which is always good.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. That's a good sign indeed, yeah.
Now, one thing, George, I want to announce before we get stuck into the main topic. We found out about this thing called drivethroughcards.com. Now, this is a third party that
Okay.
Steamforge guy used for Guild Ball. And what that they do, you basically outsource your cards as a game designer to them, and
Yeah.
they make them available for printing and download. It's like 30 cents a card or something. So I've reached out to them. We're going to start putting our cards. So our cards are all on the apps for free, and they're all like, print the PDFs available all the time. But some people like physical cards, and printing them yourself is a pain in the ass. So if you want to pay a little bit of money each time to upgrade your cards, you'll be able to do that.
Oh, that's cool because then you can get the good, like the high
Yeah.
quality cards for, I mean, personally, I also enjoy having physical cards just
Yeah.
because it's nice to like mark damage and stuff on them. You know,
Yeah.
you're not always on your phone, you know, it's nice to just have the cards there on the table.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's cool. And then
Yeah.
people can just like go to the website and pick the cards that they want and then they'll just have them delivered straight to your door,
Apparently,
right?
it's how it works. Yeah, so it's a third, like I said, third party, and one of our a judgment player, one of the Stevens brothers, who have been really good, fantastic supporters of us and early adopters, and they've really pushed the game in their area. They've actually told me about it, so they get their Guild Ball cards printed. So I went, okay, I think it's yeah, they're like an official thing. So yeah, so I'll reach out to them, and like I said, we're just we don't make money out of that kind of thing. It's just a convenience, but if people want to print them, they can. So. Hopefully, I'll do that for patch 7, which would be great.
Yeah, okay, that's really cool. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's a good little
Nice.
addition. Yeah, cool. All right. So, George, you played an epic game on Vassal apparently yesterday. So, you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yes, that's right. So one of the reasons why I have my sexy voice on right now is because I stayed up all night last night playing Vassal and drinking with my man Guard Dog, and we played a pretty intense game. It actually ended up going for like I think like 3 hours, 3.5, almost 4 hours, something like that,
Wow.
just because it just kept going, it just kept going, and ended up going to five souls in the end. So no, you know, no top of turn two effigy kill shenanigans, you know, just grinded it out all the way. And yeah, I heard one of the guys on Discord chat asking me to talk about my warband that I picked, and so I figured I would do that, give a little shout out, and you know, just discuss some things that happened in the game and how I plan on taking my warband from there.
Was it Scorched Earth you're
So
playing?
yes, so first of all, we played 5v5 on Scorched Earth with Pick and Ban. And the seven that I brought was Thorgar for my melee aggressor. Then I had Victor and Jaeger for my ranged aggressors, quote unquote. Then I had Styx as my supporter, Svetlana for my soulgazer, and Shan for my defender.
She's getting a bit of work, Sean. I'll tell you what, she's good.
Yeah, she sure is.
Sounds like a good warband.
Yeah, so he banned my Sean, which was unfortunate because I wanted to do the double leapfrog up the table, because I found that actually Sean and Sticks together make a really great team. So Sean goes first, pulls Sticks up the table, and then Sticks goes and pulls her even further up the table or backwards. It's really funny.
I can see that.
But I didn't get to do it. So he banned my Sean. I ended up dropping. Oh, I also brought Lori Bella because
Ah, nice.
I ordered her.
Yep.
So she was my other support slash RNG hero. But because of what my opponent was bringing, as I don't know if any of you go, if you've played Gardevoir before, but he loves some Minotaurs.
Yeah,
So
he's a character. He's come in pretty late. He's pretty recent to the Discord channel, but he's been, yeah, pretty vocal, really, really cool
it's a
guy.
very, very recent addition, and he has been just smashing games
Oh
out
yeah,
like
he's
every
hardcore.
day
Yeah,
since he
100%.
started.
Yeah.
So the last time that we recorded, I just played him for that was his first 5v5, and then I played him again yesterday, and it was like a world of difference. Like he's already improved a lot in just a very short period of time that
Yeah.
he's been on. So he brought all of the Minotaurs. And to support all of the Minotaurs, he also brought Lori Bella, and I'm not sure what the seventh one was, but
Right.
it was the Minotaur Spectacular.
Yep.
And I let him. Oh, he had Marcus as well, so he had a double defender going on, which was pretty scary. I actually ended up banning his Don Rakan, because I was scared of the high res with the Lori Bella heal and the Zyvira combo with Don
Yeah,
Rakan.
of course.
I wasn't too pleased about seeing that set of interactions. So I was like, Don Rakan, get out of here, because we played with the map that has a single fire shrine in the middle, and you guys played on stream where you ended up with like seven dudes around the shrine in the middle. So we kind of had a bit of a similar experience with that in that on that particular map, because you just tend to everyone just tends to dive into the middle, right? Because if you can get that shrine, it's such a big deal.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of variety I'm finding on the map Scorched Earth, where some spread you out, some clump you in, and it's quite cool. But yeah,
Yeah,
that's definitely a clumper, that
this
one.
is definitely a
Yeah,
clumper for
it is.
sure. And so I wasn't gonna have Don Rakan in that, because he's just so strong. On single shrine maps like this one, he just stands there and just says, "I'm not going anywhere. And there's nothing you can do." I mean, yeah, I can astral split him, but then what do I do after that? Right. So and it started off pretty even. We actually didn't end up going for the monsters because they were too far in the flank. So we just kind of both positioned quite aggressively for the shrine, using the wall to keep ourselves protected. What happened was is he sent in his we kind of danced around a bit, and then he sent in his Thorgar into my Svetlana, who I kind of positioned quite aggressively as a to help hold the shrine. And he managed to do some damage to her, knock her down, and set her on fire, because he threw her into the shrine,
Into the shrine. That's awesome. I love that
which
shrine.
was,
That shrine's so
oh my
cool.
goodness, that was pretty brutal. And I was like, oh crap, I didn't see that coming. I'm dead. But Sticks just basically pretended he was an ambulance driver,
Just
and
getting
he
her out.
just, yeah, he just, you,
It does
he
work.
just, yeah, he just came in and he teleported her to safety, and he basically spent the rest of the game doing that. So I think I did one astral split the whole game.
Yeah, I found in
Most
the
of the
day I played, I think the last time I played on the stream, I think with Jeff, I didn't do it. I didn't astral split once. But he still does a lot of
Yeah.
work. He's still so hard on
Yeah.
seven. Get people out of
Yeah.
trouble. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So he definitely, I was definitely clutching pretty hard with the friendly teleports to pull people to safety. He ended up doing it every turn. So on the turn two, he pulled Svetlana to safety because she was knocked down on fire. The turn after that, he went in on my Thorgar and got him down to, I think, 7 hit points. Sticks came in, pulled him to safety, made sure that he couldn't, get other heroes into it. And then a turn after that, he saved Jaeger,
who was on 5 hit points, engaged by an ash tooth and about to get smashed in the face by a minotaur. And so yeah, he just, which made it really hard for Gardok to get fit. So
Right.
that was kind of, so we started out pretty even. We, in terms of board position, we were pretty evenly matched. We were just kind of going tit for tat in terms of making plays to try and clear the shrine and hold the shrine and that kind of stuff. We were doing a lot of damage to each other. He was healing a lot of damage because he had Lorybella and the Minotaur regen,
Right.
and I didn't have fire,
Yep.
so it was very sad to not have Alan Deer with me, because he would have just absolutely smashed this map.
Well, that particular map, right, even though you got the cover with the walls, his ability is everyone wants to clump around the middle, set them all on fire, plus there's the shrine itself doing it, so it's quite a good map for him.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's, I think he really likes that one in particular as well. But
Yeah.
so I had a kind of uphill battle, but I was doing decent damage. But the advantage that I had is that I had Styx, who was able to pull people out so that he couldn't get any kills.
Yeah.
So he was kind of forced to spread his damage out across my entire warband.
What map is this,
And
George? What map number is it? Do you know? Do you remember?
I
Is
think
it
it was map 4. We had a
four?
central fire shrine,
Yeah.
two soul pits diagonally, and two random monsters,
I'm
one
just
on the
gonna
far left,
check it
one on the
out
bottom.
because I think I'm I just want to see. So how many soul pits are there in that one? There's two, is there?
Two soul
Yeah,
pits,
okay,
yeah, kind of.
yeah. Cool. Okay.
And
So
yeah, so
were
he
you getting
got.
soul? Either of you actually getting souls or?
Yes, so n not initially. Because the first soul landed on his side,
Yep.
and I pressured it pretty early so that he didn't, well, he didn't have a soul gazer. Gendris did eventually go for soul harvesting, but that
Yep.
was quite late in the game. She wasn't doing it like as a primary focus. Actually, she grabbed the soul on his side of the board, and then eventually, and then she got killed, unfortunately, because I
This is the
Astral Spear.
advanced effigy one, isn't it? Yeah, the
Yes,
effigies of the
this is advanced
yeah,
effigies,
got
yeah.
it. Yeah, cool. Okay, cool. And what random monsters did you get? Did you get anything spectacular there?
We got a Gloom and an Ashtooth.
Okay, all right.
So Gloom didn't do anything, showed up in next to his effigy, I think on turn 4,
Right.
started making his life difficult. Like
Yep.
Lorybella was kind of standing there. Lorybella was doing good damage, like just
Yep.
cranking it out. He got her a Heartseeker on turn 1,
Right.
which I think in retrospect for his particular warband was not a really good choice, because he had a lot of fate users. Like he
Yeah.
had a, like all of his
You have to
heroes.
watch that, don't you? One of the things, whenever anyone new or anyone posts a warband to me, is I always look at that and go, because you can put a fate heavy warband together, all these cool guys like the Zhonya, your Akir, your Kvardo, your Lorybella, and they all look fantastic. It looks so strong. But then you realize you can only really give one or two of them a fate each turn, can't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and it really, it's
And if
something to
it
look
does,
out
and
for.
if it doesn't pan out, and so this was the kind of situation that he got into, was that he didn't, because I had Styx, he wasn't able to get kills, and because he wasn't able to get kills, he couldn't really get any fate,
Yeah.
and because he wasn't getting any fate, he couldn't do things, he couldn't re-roll dice. So the dice went against him a couple of times, where if he had had a fate to re-roll a particular charge attack, it would have ended dramatically differently. I got a couple of like super hot dice spikes where I just rolled triple J's out of nowhere. Like if I astral split a Ashtooth into you, and then Ashtooth triple J's you and poisons you, like triple J's you and
Oh, he
then
was
smashes
writing
you like that.
about this, about the Triple J. This wasn't the
Yeah, he,
game where,
I think I triple J'd him like three times.
he wrote about this. I was like, I felt for him.
First time I was like, haha, I deserve this. Second time I was like, ooh,
Ooh.
okay, that's lucky. Third time I was like, okay, I feel bad.
So what was the did you get close on souls at any stage, or was it were you ahead?
I was ahead, so I basically, I think on turn 3, I started harvesting souls with Svetlana.
Right, okay. Yep.
So I got once, I actually I got one soul on her quite early, and then I just went into Windmill Slam Aggressor Soul Gazer build, where I just started utilizing her Pathfinder to charge and kill people over the wall.
Right, yeah, cool.
So Svetlana actually set up two kills.
So I did this, I think once again on the stream, I used her because her Pathfinder's quite cool on new map. I used her to charge over and get into things as well. Yeah, she can be good. Yeah, she's a.
I actually, there was one point which was like really bad for him. So he managed to get a soul quite early with Gendrys, right? So he harvested it. Then my sticks came flying in from the corner, Astral split Ashtooth into him. Ashtooth killed him, so he lost the soul immediately before he could bank.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then he decided like, okay, well, I have to kill this Ashtooth. But then his dice completely like bottomed out on him.
Oh,
And the curse of Kogan came to be, and he left Ashtooth on 2 hit points. So my Svetlana walked, charged over the wall, killed the Ashtooth, stole the kill, got the fate, and bought a Glyph of Warding.
oh, my goodness. So you
And
have a
that
warning
was
on your
just,
Svetlana.
yeah, on my Svetlana, yeah. So I
So
had res 3
in
Svetlana
combat.
sitting like 2 inches from his effigy,
Wow.
engaging like his Lori Bella and his Kogan, being like, what up, bro? And
That's horrible.
he couldn't do anything about it. It was just a huge, huge pain in the ass for him.
This is a Kogan thing as a segue. I played Sean Stevens, one of the Stevens brothers, when I was in Adepticon. He rolls 7 4 pluses in a row on Kogan's chainsaw thing.
Chainsaw. That's, I mean, that's just incredible.
It was incredible.
In this game, it didn't go off once. Like no,
That
he triggered
sucks.
it, right? He got the combat maneuver, but he never rolled a single
Because even
damage with it.
one's nice, right? Like he's got a 5 crit. So even one gives you another true damage. It's quite okay, that was nice. Another true damage is good, right? But
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
just if you just get one damage,
It
that
makes it
takes
worth it.
his damage grid up to Thorgar's damage grid.
I know. Like just it's but okay. So that's not good.
Yeah,
All right.
the dice said no. So yeah, so that happened. So it was kind of like a kind of a gradual, slow kind of stranglehold in that he was didn't have fate and had too low hit points to cut for fate. Because he didn't, he had a Marcus, and in hindsight, it was probably one turn, like I think turn 3 or turn 4, where he probably would have been better off cutting
At that
his
point.
Marcus to try and get a, you know, like a Lori Bella grenade or a Gendrys Forest, something like that, to,
Just something.
yeah, to swing the game around. But you know, we talked about that in the post game. He just, you know, about his warband construction and how really, kind of, you have to plan your fate investment
Yeah, you do.
from the beginning of the game. And we talked about the idea of potentially just banking the first two fate that you get if you anticipate that you're not going to be getting a shrine. So especially on the map that we played, when there's one central shrine where the chances of you actually controlling it are almost nil, if you're not planning on going out of your way to get monster kills, you might have to save up for a couple of turns because turn 3 and turn 4, you might not get anything.
It's also worthwhile looking at investing in the Leech Blade or regen item too in that instance. Like if you've got a Marcus with regen, cutting him for 5 or 6 is not
It's
that
not a big
bad
deal.
because you can get it
That's true.
back. And or if you've got Minotaur, it's like it's you look at it that way, if you can plan ahead a bit, if you think you're going to be, particularly if you're starting out, you're finding yourself fate starved, planning with that sort of thing can make it worthwhile to cut yourself later. But yeah, anyway, that's something to think about. And
Yeah, so that
how did
was
it, yeah, so what, so you got ahead, but it went for so long. Did he come back or it just sort of ground it out to a win?
well, actually, he did. He did. He managed to at one point get. I basically I whittled him down, and then in one turn, I managed to kill 3 of his guys. But then he came back the next turn, and I was down on like single digits on most of my heroes as well. And he just enraged slammed 2 of my guys to death.
Thorgar, what a legend.
With at top of the turn, right? So there was 2 guys that I didn't get to activate. So he got to go first and he got to end the turn with back-to-back hero
Back to hero.
activations without
Shit, yeah, that's a
interruption.
big swing.
So that was a huge swing which allowed him to like get back into the game
There
and
is a
keep me
strategy in
pressured.
that too, like whittling heroes down, spreading the damage around. It can starve you early, but you can come up trumps later on with
Exactly, yeah, because
playing
you
them
can
up.
just set up
Yeah.
these huge turns where
Yeah.
you can really kind of just
And
catch people
in
out.
the end, you got your fifth soul and one George. That was the, was it
Yeah,
Regis?
so I got 3 souls by getting kills. So Jaeger got a kill, Victor got a kill, and I think my Thorgal got a kill. And then for the rest, Svetlana just,
Soul
you know,
goes.
she went in, got a soul, face tanked a whole bunch of stuff, and then when she saw the opportunity, she just backed out and then just did a soul harvest in the middle of the table.
Did you raise, did you summon Dogecarn with Victor or not this game?
Yes, I did.
Oh, how'd it go?
He was pretty good. He
Yeah.
was pretty good. He went in and just like a flying
He's so
rocket
good.
out of
He's so
nowhere.
much fun. He's so much fun. That's did he end up getting killed or not?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
So, but
Yeah.
I it was tough because it was really tough for
The guard dog.
for my opponent, yeah, for Gardog, because I summoned him at and sent him in at a time when he really didn't want to be dealing with a Dogekar,
Right.
but he
Yep.
was in, I managed to kind of get him around the flank and then fly him into Gendrys,
Right.
kind of the underbelly of his warband.
Yep.
And he, you know, had to spend his activations. He had to spend two hero activations to get rid of him.
Yeah, okay.
And that
That'll hurt.
bought,
Yeah.
and that was on the turn that I only had 3 dudes.
Right.
So that
Okay.
allowed me to buy, that bought me a lot of breathing room.
Yeah, cool. All right. That's good.
So that it protected, basically, it made sure that my Lauribella, not my Lauribella, my Svetlana and my Styx were able to not take any damage for a turn because he was too busy with Dogekarn. So it was,
Right.
in my eyes, totally worth it.
Cool. Okay. That sounds good. Excellent. So we are people who want to get into the game. You can actually play a lot of games on Vassal without buying any models and try it out. We have a massive community on Discord. You should check it out. There's links on our website to Discord, and yeah, we're getting a lot of international games happening. We've had Vassal Leagues, got another Vassal League starting in July, so that's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty big. The interest we've got, we'll see.
I think it's going to be a huge Vassal League.
Yeah, and the
I
Vassal
think everyone's
module
going to be
is
excited.
super cool. Shout out to Tort for maintaining that. Also, just a big shout out for Theo, who's subscribed for 16 months in a row to our Twitch stream. I think he might have been one of the first subs we ever got, and he stuck with us. So thank you, Theo, you legend.
Wow, good job, dude. That's
Yeah,
some dedication right
he's
there.
a
16
legend.
months.
I know, what a legend. Cool. All right, let's get to our main topic of the night. We're going to talk about the heroes that were designed by Kickstarter backers. A bit of history of Kickstarter number one. We had three slots for people who could design a hero. And I think at that point it might have been like $1,000 Aussie. Then when it came to Kickstarter number two, it isn't an easy thing to do to design heroes this way, particularly when you've got the upfront costs of a hero and you're not sure how many you're going to sell. So the second one, we made it pretty high to say we'll put one slot at $5,000. This is all US, sorry, Australian dollars.
Australian,
And
yeah.
we got someone who bought in for the 5K, and we got Barnaskas. So the first ones we got Skoll and Cavado and also Brock, but I'll explain Brock. He was a bit of a special case. And then in
Okay.
Kickstarter number two, we got Barnaskas. You can tell the beauty. So one of the good things about doing this is that these are all three pretty unique heroes in our range. And it's no coincidence. It's because they were spawned from backers and not
Yeah.
myself or Jeff coming up with ideas. And so the other thing, the flip side of that is it's quite a challenge when you're designing a game and a universe to then
Slot
fit
in.
slot in a hero that does not necessarily fit in with what you're doing. So, and because they're backers and they're early adopters and they're really throwing pretty decent money at you, you feel you want to accommodate them as much as you can, but yeah, it has its challenges. So anyway, we'll go through them one at a time, I guess.
So I think we'll start with Skoll.
Yeah,
So
okay,
if we
let's do that.
start with Skoll, so let's talk about Skoll, because I was listening. I mean, I got the idea from the Judgment Day podcast, because they were talking about the Skoll history, and I thought it was a pretty cool story. So I thought
Yeah.
it would be nice to kind of get into how it came about and what the idea was and
Yeah.
who the people are behind the faces.
All right, cool. So we, when we first started way back, the first Kickstarter, we were obviously Australians. So it was pretty exciting to have local guys trying something like this. There's no real miniature gaming games created in Australia. So people were pretty excited. Now, there was two guys in particular from Queensland, which is north of Australia. And they were best mates. And they come together and said, can we split the cost of the pledge and do it together? So we thought, yep, why not? So their nickname is Australian Freezy. It's Darren Freeze, I think, is the one guy's name. And
okay.
The other guy's Stratford, I think, but they're called Australian Freeze. So
Australian Freeze, yeah, that's pretty cool nicknames.
Now, not only, so they came up with the idea of, could we have either two models, or then I don't know who spawned the idea of me or them, but it came up with a giant with two heads. So I have talked about it many times. I've loved Dungeons and Dragons. I've played it since I was about 14, which was a long, like this is version one, first edition. So yeah. Ettons have always been one of my favorite monsters, and I thought, hey, let's do an Etton. So now at this point, we had a pretty solid group of races, and I didn't want to introduce an Etton race. We don't want to have, you know, it's 10 heroes and a Ettons, for example. So we thought, I thought, okay, let's just weave it into the backstory, and Ettons could be two-headed orcs. And that's basically, if you read the fluff, they are, that's what they are. The other thing about, unique thing about Ettons is they don't breed. So an Etton comes from two orcs mating, and once an Etton is made, God. An Etton can't mate with an orc. They don't. So, and they're just like a freak of nature. They just appear. No one's really sure how or why they come about, but they do. So, so that was the. I wrote all the background for the Ents.
Are they generally looked down upon by the orcs as like freaks of nature? Or
no, they're actually revered a little bit. They're like, because they're bigger. They come out bigger. Yeah. They're tough. And in orc society, that's obviously quite
absolutely. Good. Yeah, it's kind of so a big deal. Yeah,
they act as bodyguards and muscle and in fact. Skull is legendary in the orcs. One, because he's now summoned, so he's one of the. There's one of the stories is there. There's a Skull story in there where it talks about the heads. It's quite sad because normally, sometimes the heads are often at war with each other, and an Etton can one of the heads can get killed in these, and if a one head dies, invariably the other one takes its life. That's quite sad. So they're kind of like a. They have a lot of love-hate relationship with each other sometimes. Skull's one of the few where they're in a complete synergy, which suits the two best mates who did it. So
right, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, that's a nice touch. That's really cool.
So he was good. So anyway, what happened beyond that, they said, could we possibly have them look like us, the heads? And I went, okay, let's try this. So this is, you know, we're pretty new to the whole sculpting. These are some of the first sculpts we ever did. So we got two good pictures of them. And sent them to the illustrator, and he illustrated them up. And I could tell you, remarkably, they look very similar. They both got beards. It's crazy. So Freeze is the one with the hood. Stratty's the one with the horns.
Helmet. With the helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And they then, if you look at, like, I could tell you. I mean, it's not like, you know, a photo of them, but if you had them next to each other, you could tell me which one was which head. That's how much
exactly. If I was facing them across the table from me, and I picked up my skull and I held it up, I'd be like, "Oh my god!"
So we saw them at they come past the conventions. These guys play a whole bunch of games. So they don't play Judgment.
They need to. They need to do a cosplay together where the two of them wear like one suit.
It's quite funny when outfit. I see, because even so, I'll get to Barnaskis in a minute. But he's another one that looks very much like. The guy. So
yeah.
Cavada obviously not, thank goodness, but the other two.
Oh,
so yeah, when you see them you go, there's the real Barnaskis, or there's the real, you know, Skull. And so that's how that came about. So
I think that's super cool to have. I mean, like, and I think it's, I mean, just think about it, like, you know, like I have a model, I have a miniature that is modeled after me. Like, that would be so cool to have.
And that's the thing. I was thinking, like, this model is out there. It's a sculpt. Like, people have bought it. And models last, you know, decades, right? So for them, it's like, well, we're going to have model. And as the game's growing bigger, they're getting more like, well, this is great. You know, one of our heroes is in the game. So now beyond part of the deal is not just the aesthetics of the game. Then I have to write rules that match
Yeah,
the
exactly.
model. So we had two-headed monsters all of a sudden. So, you know, things like we wanted something unique with it, similar to something with Bunnaskets. So with this one, Enkavato. So with this one, we thought, right, you know, you can't be stunned. You don't get the extra dice when you're parting Blow and Etten because of the two heads. So you try to weave that into the thing, and then you ask them what do you want it to do, you know. And then because it was two guys, they, you know, had different ideas. But in the end, we came with a really good model that they wanted it to be tough. They wanted it to be big, you know. So he ended up being one of the best defenders. Now I've got a feeling. I'm trying to remember. I think the initial what time I wrote this, he might have been actually an aggressor. I can't remember, but then they sort of said, oh, we're likely to be a bit more tanky and do it, you know. So then he became Skull, and he's one of my favorite models in the game. Like, I love the orcs, and I know people say he's not a proper orc, but I really like him. He's a fantastic model. He's great to play with. He's strong in the game, and yeah, he was a really good success story from that.
Okay, cool. Wow. Plus, I mean, I like the idea. First of all, the background story is just super cool, but also the fact that you managed to get two different sets of ideas on what abilities he should have, and then you
Yeah.
can integrate that into one model, I think is a very elegant solution.
Yeah.
That also makes him completely unique, right? He's the only hero in
Yeah,
the
has two
game
tracks, two level up
that
tracks.
has
Yeah.
two tracks that
Yeah.
allow him to level up flexibly, like in a way that he can adjust to based on how the first turns of the game have gone, based on what your opponent is bringing. Or like, oh, maybe in this situation I want this head,
Yeah.
and that's really cool.
No, he's good. Jeffrey's trying to tell us in ch Twitch chat that we base Skye on him because he's very attractive. I can tell you that Skye looks nothing like Jeff. In fact, Jaeger looks like more lot more like Jeff So anyway, that was Skull. So in the same Kickstarter, we had Curvado. Now this was a guy called Gary, also from Queensland. Not sure what he's with Queenslanders, but yep, he was another one. Gary was a good mate of ours from years back. I think he's an architect. He's got a very successful architecture business. So he got in and wanted to do a hero. Now, this was one where it was a lot more difficult to get it right. Gary had like a certain ideas of what he wanted to do, and we found it very difficult to get that into the game. In the end, we ended up with something that was fantastic, very unique. And once again, and it's no, I've Kavada is one of my main models. I love using him. The model is quite different. It's probably the ugliest model we've got in the range, which has nothing to do with Gary because Gary's a good-looking guy. But it ended up
Well,
being
I mean, underneath that helmet, he could be Brad Pitt, you know?
that is true. So essentially, this one took a lot of time. I designed a complete hero that, when we pitched it to Gary, he didn't like it, and I had to go back basically to square one. We had a lot of it was just this is nothing against Gary, right? It was just one of those things where it I probably should have set better guidelines beforehand to say these are some of the options, and we did that with the second Kickstarter. But with this one, we kind of just was open slather, and then it just happened
True,
that
but
he
I mean,
came.
everyone was new to the
It
process,
was,
so I
yeah,
think
it was.
that's understandable that
Yeah.
there would be, differences in design philosophy and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
And when it came to it, in the end, I think everyone was happy. Gary was happy. I ended up being happy. The sculpt itself. Now, this is one of the things I say. We've got an illustrator. Our main illustrator is Shane L. Cook, right? He does the bulk of our stuff. But we sometimes get Helgi to do stuff. Helgi's a German guy, and I've joked about it before that Helgi doesn't get pushed around by me. So he will say, this is what I want to do, and it's very difficult for me to get to change his mind. So I often go to Helgi to get things that are outside the box. And Dorga Khan is that. So Helgi did Dorga Khan recently, and I'm saying this because it's good to get sometimes to get someone different. If it's just Jeff or I doing it all the time, we'll end up having a range of 50 vanilla D&D heroes that a
Yeah,
cookie.
that are too much similarity. I mean,
Exactly.
I have to say, Cavato, in terms of design, aesthetic, and look and feel, definitely stands out.
He
And
does,
when you yeah, and he definitely is the ugliest model in the game. And what I mean is not he's illustrated badly or sculpted badly. It's just that the model itself, you're just like, it's just kind of creepy and kind of yucky and
So,
scary and yeah, it's kind of, yeah.
Gary
But
was
it's
a,
I think that's the
yeah,
vibe,
it
right?
is.
That he's
Gary was an
supposed to.
80s horror, an 80s horror fan, loved 80s, the really slick, you know, the, I don't know, the really grotesque horror from the 1980s. So when we first said to him, I said, throw me some images. Oh my God, I was physically ill, like looking at some. It was horrible, right? And I remember getting it and going, oh, we're in trouble here. Like, how are we going to do this? So it was, and this whole Helgi thing and the Gary thing, like, I've had people say they won't play Cavato, they don't like the model. I've had people say they're playing because of that model. And honestly, and with League of Legends and all the MOBAs, the beauty of those are there are heroes people hate. Like there's Teemo and all these heroes people don't like, but other people love them. And for us, we want to have the same thing. We want to have a range that's big enough that there'll be enough for you to play the models you love, and enough variety to get everyone playing. So,
Exactly.
and in the
Well,
end,
plus if you just make the only way to keep everybody happy is just to make really middle of the road sculpts and ideas, and then you're never doing anything new, and you just have a lot of kind of really plain similar people, like looking people. But
Exactly.
if you like this one really kind of goes outside your comfort zone in terms of, like it does something to you, like
So
it's challenging,
it
right?
is. And so Gary's pushing us in this direction is what created the hybrid class. The hybrid class was not part of the original game. And
Right, so that is Gary's
it
brainchild,
is,
the
yeah.
idea,
So
the hybrid.
for me to get the rules right to match what he wanted to do, I had to introduce the hybrid class. And that's been a fantastic thing. I think some of the best models of the game are now hybrids. I love the hybrid class. Like latest model Jaeger, he's a hybrid. And I think so the other thing I did for this, and this is interesting, this is something we might bring out in the future. No one really knows this outside this podcast, so this is a world exclusive, is that the original version of Cavato was the little guy could detach. So it's like Master Blaster from Mad Max 3.
From Mad
Yeah,
Max.
where the little guy could actually detach in the game and they were two separate models and then he could reattach. It became, so there's full rules that work. We actually tested this and it worked. And it was also the first blueprint for mountain models. Now, in the end, with cavalry, we've gone with something that I think works a bit better and it's a bit more streamlined. But this concept of models attaching and detaching is something that we'll look at again in the future. It's the kind of thing. So the reason why it didn't happen in the end, because Gary didn't want him to be able to detach. He actually said, I want him part of the model. This is where we got the little guy coming out of the guts.
The
So
whole
that's
Siamese
it.
growth
That's
thing going
right.
on. Yeah.
So and there's so much depth to this character. So if you read the Origins material, so the when a hero gets projected to the Shadow Plane, they can enhance themselves a little bit. So they can alter the way they look or get more powers and that kind of thing. So that
Yeah, get
little,
that six pack
yeah,
they've always wanted.
that's right. So on Athian, on the normal plane, Cavato doesn't have the guy come out of his gut. That was his twin brother who died at birth. But when he projects
That's
himself
right.
onto the Shadow Plane, his brother comes out of him. So he's obviously a part of our Siamese, so obviously part of him is still there, and he comes out. So the hybrid part of this, the fire attack that the range attack that Cavato does is the little guy shooting magic
It's the
fireballs.
little guy.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. So fire comes from the little guy and the
That's right.
poison comes from the big guy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
so this whole working with Gary created this awesome model that was a true hybrid. It was tanky, it could do combat, it could shoot, and I was in the end it ended up being a really good success story. So that's
Yeah, but definitely, probably. I think, from the sounds of it, I think he probably was one of the hardest heroes to balance,
yeah, he
because he
was.
had so much stuff going on. You know, you can't have him be too tanky. You can't have him be like he had to have decent damage, but not like absurd. You know, he had to. So it's a lot of stuff that seems very difficult
And I
to
think
get
he's
the right
good, you
balance.
know. And the telekinesis spell is from the little guy. The level two up, where you get a res and an immune to poison, is the big guy. So we've kind of kept that theme all the way through, where this model is basically two models together. And I think we did a good job. I think it turned out really well. So I think we're happy with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ah.
Yeah.
So George Brock. So this.
Yes, Brock, so the special case.
Really interesting story. So we had a gentleman from the US going big on the Kickstarter. He had a lot of money, so we didn't know him beforehand, but it became obvious that he was quite a wealthy individual. He, in the end, didn't really have much input at all. The only input he gave us is, I want it to be a dwarf. So this is where you get the extremes, where you had Gary, who was really wanted to have a particular thing. Yeah. So did Darren Freezy and Stratty. But then you get this guy who was just like, left it to us. So we basically made Brock pretty much independent of him. He just wanted a dwarf. And that's how Brock was born. So he is technically a backer design hero, but the only design part is the dwarf part.
Right. Okay. So you were kind of given carte blanche on what you guys wanted to do.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons why there's extra, you know, when we planned the first Kickstarter, he happened to get in there because he wasn't just happened to be another hero we designed, but he wasn't meant to be part of the Kickstarter. So yeah, it was interesting.
So does that mean that Zaffin is the original dwarf aggressor?
Yeah. So originally, so I've got to tell you another story. So I think, I'm just trying to think back now, because definitely 100% Brock, the first incarnation of him was a tank. He was a defender. And then I think I've got a feeling the backer, he might have given us two bits of information. One was a dwarf, and one he wanted to be like a berserk dwarf.
Berserker. So
that's when he became who he was. In the original set, we didn't have a melee dwarf aggressor in the original set.
That's right. Okay.
So,
well, I mean, as soon as you say berserker, it's like, okay, clothes off, get the orange hair dye out.
Yeah, that's right. Like the dwarf slayer from GW, right?
Great. I mean, it's one of my favorite just things of kind of background story. Like just the idea of this really angry naked dwarf psychopath going, "Kill me!"
And he's a monster killer as well. So he's the first beast master
He's constantly he's constantly upset that he's still alive because he's like, will someone finally kill me?
And then these are the kind of things. So that Slayer idea with the Warhammer Slayer. This is the idea with him with his level two where he comes back, right? So we often, I think one of the things in the game that you don't realize it maybe when you first started playing, but we try to make rules that feel like the character should have them, okay? So there, he's in his last dying breath, you know, he looks like you've just killed him, but he's still there and he comes back on one health. And it's one of the things that, like, there's a lot of, at the moment, there's a lot of chatter about the game going around worldwide because the game's growing. And you hear people writing things like, it feels like you're in the battle. It feels like, you know, and that's one of the things that we really try to capture is that it feels like you're actually using these heroes. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think the best word to describe it is cinematography.
Yeah.
Right. You have to kind of have, you have to be able to visualize internally what an ability does and what a hero does. And does do the two mesh together? Like, can you, could you picture it in like, you know, a big budget adventure action movie?
That's right. And I think that's one of the, I mean, and Jeff and I talk about, it's funny because it's all fake and it's all in the shadow plane. And but we talk about realism as well, right? Like, you know, to have like Styx is a cyborg with his, you know, all these magical powers of splitting through different planes and coming back. And, you know, Rakir, it's really cinematic with his Batman smoke
with
bomb.
With his ninja poof.
It's, you know, it's all that kind of thing. So, I don't know. It seems to have served us well so far. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's good. It's so, anyway, that was Cavado and Skull. So, I don't know. They're both fun to use. They're pretty popular. They're very popular heroes.
I mean, I think they're popular. I think they're individually all very strong. And I think they're all super unique.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they... And especially, like, the one thing I noticed is that the backer created heroes tend to be more of a hybrid kind of mixed, like a mix between two classes. Like, I think people see like, oh, you know, I want this, but I don't want him to be just an offense or just a defense guy. I want him to like do a little bit like two things,
Yeah,
you
and
know, and
that's a very
that's
common theme,
cool.
George. It's 100% right, because when I design a hero, when I sit down, I think I'm going to design a defender, and cool, this is all the abilities defenders are going to get, which is fine. But when you get someone like this externally, they just tell you what they want it to do, and this is why it's been good for us, because it's forced us into this realm of hybridness, because they don't want it just to be a defender. They want, oh, but it'd be cool if he shot fireballs too, and oh, you know, it'd be cool if he.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, I want this and this and this and this. Okay. Yeah. Oh, also, and he has to shoot fireballs.
that's it.
What?
So I'm at this, you know, it's quite a process, and I'd go back to him and say, hey guys, how's this sound, you know, and I'd do a card version for them, and then they'd come back and critique it, and it is good. I think it is something. Now that we're getting bigger, we're not doing Kickstarters anymore, but I've got it. I reckon one day we'll do it again. We'll open it up to some sort of prize or some competition, and we'll let someone do it again, because it's
It could be the prize for the next Ultimate Vassal League.
I was thinking more if we have a 300 person team event somewhere, you know, like,
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Vassal League can do for now. Like, you
The World Team Championships, obviously, with all that.
That's it. Anyway, so the last one to talk about today is Barnaskus. Now, this one's been talked about a fair bit because he's the most recent one we've done. This was Shane Barnbrook. So Shane's from Victoria in the southern part of Australia. Those who don't know, Shane had a pretty nasty accident a few years ago, and he's confined to a wheelchair. When he first approached me about it, he said, I'd like to somehow have that melded into the character, the fact that the character's unable to walk or in a wheelchair or some device like that. So that's how that started. He's a great guy, Shane. I've met him and his family. He's really cool, and he was a pleasure to work with. So we came up with, I said to him, okay, but this is going to be, once again, initially I was like, oh man, this is going to be tough. How are we going to do a wheelchair in a game like this? Like, it's going to be interesting to see how that
Yeah,
works.
that's definitely a design challenge.
So I said, I mean, I would start, my initial reaction was we could do a futuristic hero on a floating disc or something. Or, you know, I had these things in my head, and then he sent me an image of a dude somewhere, I think in the States, because these things tend to happen there, who's got a tank tracked wheelchair.
That's right.
So I was like, I saw the picture and went, wow, okay, let's explore this, right? So then, you know, you get things like tank tracked, you know, the little the road works, right? You get the little diggers where they've got tank track things, and you know, we got all these images, and it started going back and forth, and then we ended up with this awesome idea of putting a dwarf in a tank. Because we introduced World War II by this stage. We had Laurie Bella
That's
and
right. Yeah,
we had
that's
Alan
it.
Dear and Kogan, and we thought, hey, it's a pretty good genre, and he was keen, so we decided to explore it. And now this is a unique model, another model that we definitely would not have in the range if it wasn't for Shane, because I wouldn't have come up with the idea. I don't think it's if you think of a tank, you'd think of it being a really big base model that wouldn't fit in the game, right? So like a tank where a 54 millimeter model could fit in would be huge, but this concept of a platform on tank tracks, and it became an awesome project, and we were so happy with it. So we were th I think this dude in America, he had some kind of flamethrower. I don't know what it was. It was something like that. So we thought, okay, let's put some flamethrowers on this thing. And then it became the illustrator, Shane L. Cook, wrote, he put two big flame guns. I went, okay, so dual cannons, let's work that into the rules. How can this work? And then it ended up being, yeah, it's quite fun, because like I said, I'd normally would start with the rules first and then develop the character from there. This one, you start visually first. All these, they're the opposite. They're the opposite way to the way I'd normally
That you
design a hero.
normally make a hero,
Yes.
right?
And when I start a hero, I don't even know the race sometimes, or sorry, or the class, or the sex. I'm just like, let's just start this, and then it sort of evolves, and then yeah, like Zonya, you know, like I wanted some berserker.
Yeah, you start with an idea of what you want the hero to do, and then you kind of flesh it out with like something
And
that fits
that's
with that
right. And
vibe.
I don't design. There's a lot of them I haven't done on my own. Like I, you know, I'd very early. I mean, Jeffrey, I'm collaborating with him the whole time, and sometimes he might spawn an idea that then we go from there. But halfway through, I might show it to, we've got a few play testers, or show it to someone, or even to Illustrator. Shane's the first person who gets my ideas, and then he'll go, boom, like, what about this? And he comes up with something new that he thinks will be cool, and then Jeff and I will take it back and we'll do it from there. And then, you know, so that's how it often happens. But with this, you start with the visual first. The first thing is they send you some images from Google that they want to look at, and you go, okay, shit, okay. So it's, you know, it's interesting. So where the other way will be like Jeff going, hey, I really want to do this, you know, this thing. What do you reckon about this? Or an old D&D character, and we go from there. So Barnesca's come up. Now, we also decided, let's do the face. So Shane sent a picture of himself to the to Shane Barbrook sent it to Shane, the illustrator. And I think in this one was the first time we had a messenger chat with Shane Barnbrook, the Barnaskis guy, and Shane, the illustrator, all together. And the so me, Jeff, and those two, Jeff and I, all got together and went, let's design it cooperatively, and that's how it worked out. So
Yeah, so
yeah,
that was a real kind of like
big
team effort.
collaboration.
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, he came out great, and just like aesthetically and design wise, and he's unique. Like, what other game has essentially a wheelchair based hero? Plus, with the dwarves, I mean, leave it to a dwarf to turn a wheelchair into a mechanical killing machine, right? That's so typical. They're just like, okay, right, so I'm stuck in this chair. I gotta figure something out. I'll get me, 200 pounds of steel, a blowtorch, and give me a week to build this thing. And then he's just, it just they just A-team their way to victory,
I looked. I looked at the. I'm looking at the sculpt right now. It's on the background of the stream. Even the triangle tracks. I remember they were Shane O'Cook idea, the illustrator. So that's probably the most collaborative hero we've done. It's probably aesthetically the least I've had anything to do with as the game designer. Same with Jeffrey. I think it came from both Shane's. I just made sure that they didn't do anything ridiculous, I guess, and then I adapted the rules pretty much to the sculpt, so or the illustration. I took it away when it was almost finished. I remember halfway through going, oh, by the way, I've written this. What do you think about this? And then it worked. So Shane's really proud of it. It was great. His family were at PAX in Melbourne, and his family came to the booth, and he's got a girl and a boy, kids, and they were looking at it, and he was pointing at it, and it was amazing, you know. Like, it was, there's some really good stories to it that you don't expect when you start a journey like this with creating judgment. And the relationship with our early adopters, like yourself, George, sending us, George sent us a letter very early on with some the plastic, sorry, the
The
standees.
standees. That's
And
right, yeah.
yeah, like at the
I
time,
sent you your first fan letter.
you did. I didn't even know you then. I think Jeff knew you from the WTC, and I remember
That's right,
saying, oh,
yeah.
Jeff, just George Bush a guy. And he goes, oh, he's a legend, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you make these relationships with people that the early adopters, I imagine once we get really big, like, I'd imagine now we're always going to have that special relationship with some of the early adopters who helped us, right? Like, everyone who's not just the backers, there's backers, but then there's people like yourself who just go above and beyond, and, you know, doing a podcast with me and pushing it. And so I think that's, yeah, it's great. And I think the people who did these characters with us, they're always going to be a special player in the game because,
Absolutely. I think, yeah, and it's, there's a huge, I think, personal investment, and I think some measure of pride as well is associated with it. Like, to have something, to have your brainchild turned into a real physical thing that you can see and hold and show people is, I think, super cool. Like, if I'd had the money for it, I definitely would have done it as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, this was, I mean,
Absolutely.
$5,000 Australian, right? It's like still 3,500 US or something, and, you know,
Yeah, I
three and a
mean,
half
plus
thousand
that's—I mean,
euro.
that's a big commitment because back at that time, we were still in the Kickstarter. It was still unsure, like how it was going to
Where was
go, whether
that
the game was going to
going
take
to go?
off and stuff like that. And I remember when it happened because, like, we were coming up on like the last day of the pledges, and we were at like 90 something percent of reaching the Kickstarter, and we were like, "Oh, we're gonna make it." And then Shane just came in and just said, "Yeah, he just dropped 5 Gs," and he just like he basically, you know, just came in
Got us
and
over the
saved the
line.
day.
Yeah, it was good.
exactly, which is a really, really big deal, and that's a huge investment in very uncertain future. But you
Yeah.
know, it's
Yeah.
his trust has been, I think, rewarded.
Well, so
And
the continuation of that story is Shane actually has now opened a store in Victoria, and he stocks Judgment. Our next King of the Grove tournament is in Shane's store. So,
oh,
yeah.
wow.
Yeah. So Jeff's going
That's
down there.
amazing.
It's already on Facebook, the event. Looks like we're going to get a decent turnout. He's got half a dozen players in his store. There's three or four going from Sydney. Yeah, so there's going to be Joffrey Bieber's going to it. So it's going to be a healthy event, and he's got his own store. So it's amazing how it works. Yeah, so he's now a Judgment stockist as well. So it's crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how that works. Now, another little sneak peek for our listeners, George, is that Barnascus is also getting patched. So,
Exciting. I think I know who's going to be on my painting table soon.
Kamado and Skull are not, but Barney is one of the patched heroes for patch number
That's
seven, and
okay, awesome.
his is a buff. I can say that.
Okay,
He's
awesome.
getting
Yeah,
buffed.
actually, that reminds me. I still have one question I wanted to ask you when it comes to Barnascus, because it kind of seems like Barnascus was a little bit the prototype for the solidification of the mounted rules.
Yeah, yep.
Was that kind of the vibe that you had with going in? Like you were
Yeah,
like
yep.
he is the dwarf mounted
He,
dwarf thing?
yep. So, okay. I'll release this one to the listeners. One of the parts of the patch for him is he becomes a mounted model.
He
So,
will.
yep.
Oh, okay.
So he
Yeah,
now
that
gets
makes
the
a lot of
plus one
sense. That
damage
makes
and plus one dice on the charge. That's his.
on the
It's
charge.
that. There's also another slight change to him. A
But
positive
we'll keep
one.
that one under wraps for
Yeah, we'll keep
now.
it under wraps. But that he, it's pretty much people are expecting it. But he, when we, so when we first designed him, the mounted rules weren't ready. They were a little bit complex, to be honest, and we weren't comfortable releasing them. So we waited until we actually had a mounted model, which is Jaeger,
Right.
and then Fazeel, and then we went, okay, we can, this retro fits quite nicely. We feel he's in a place, like he already got the plus one movement. So,
Off the bat,
yeah, that's right.
exactly.
Unwritten rule is the mounted model will get it's race movement
Plus
plus
one
one,
move.
right? So that's why Jaeger's six, because goblins
Speed, naturally speed
are going to be
five.
five when we do infantry goblins. That's why Fazeel, he's five because undead are four on
He's a huge.
humans. Yeah. And when it comes to dwarves, he's three or four. So that was the first thing that we gave him, but we stripped everything else back. But now he's getting the plus one dice and plus one damage on a charge. So
Which
it's,
makes sense
yeah.
because if you're getting hit by a tank doing 50 miles an hour,
Well, it's gonna hurt.
it's gonna hurt.
That's right. That's right. So yeah. So that's look out for that. So he'll be out. And there's another change to his card that is also a positive change. We just feel the next change is something that just it makes his quality of life a bit better. It's not a massive buff per se, but it is quality life. But
Little tweak.
the cavalry is obviously a buff. That's a straight up good buff for him. So considering he's got a 2S knockdown on him, right? So charging in now with extra dice and extra damage is quite
Yeah,
nice.
I think that'll push him just that little tiny bit that he needed to make his knockdown charge just a little bit more
Reliable,
reliable so that you can
I mean,
kind
so
of
he's a 2-3-4, he's 2-3-4 damage track, right? Now he's 2S knockdown. If one of those is a J, he gets an extra true damage as well. So if you count the cavalry bonus, he could potentially do 6 damage on the charge now, and one of them true. So it's quite nice. So yeah, that's the
Okay.
idea of Barney. So
Awesome.
cool.
All right. Well, you heard it here.
You
You heard
did.
it here first, folks.
I'll put this up tonight, and then we'll go from there. So in other news, the Shan I should have the Shan, physical Shan in my hand within a, this month we'll have it in my hand. The first prototype of Shan. So I'll be able to show her on stream
Show
and
that off,
which is
yeah.
going to be great. Yeah, so pretty excited. And George, you bought Laurie, Bella and Jaeger, I think, didn't you, during the week? I saw yours.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's right. Yeah, so first one is on the way, the Lori Bella, and yeah, just looking forward to Jaeger. He, man, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
And
Like
your
he
map's
really
turned
did.
up,
He did
George,
a.
hasn't it? Your Scorched Earth?
Not yet, but it'll probably
Oh,
be
goodness. Gotta be soon.
arriving tomorrow. Yeah,
Yeah.
probably tomorrow or
Yeah,
Tuesday.
it's gotta be soon. Yeah, I was gonna say. What the hell?
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, sorry, so you got Lori Bella and and what were you saying you might be getting? So how many vinyls have you got now? You got about 10, have you? Or I don't. How many have you got?
Let's see. I think I got six. I should be up to about
12.
12.
Wow. Okay.
12 now. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I got a fairly decent stable. I got six off the Wave 2
Yep.
Kickstarter. Then I got the I think six from the Wave 1 Kickstarter.
Right, okay. Well, oh,
Yeah, I
excellent.
think I went six and six. So these are my first extra ones
Ah,
outside the
okay.
Wave 1, Wave 2.
All right, cool.
And I'm really excited for Jaeger because he did a lot of work yesterday. I gotta
Oh, he's
say,
so good.
I actually did less damage with it. Like I spent less time with him shooting than I
Yep.
thought, but I spent more time maneuvering and applying Retarius to particular people. And against certain heroes, he's just ball busting. Like Retarius is just. I never knew how good Jaeger was into Marcus, for instance,
Yeah.
right? Because
Yeah.
if Marcus, especially the needing an extra S for combat maneuvers,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
that makes Marcus so sad because he's
Yeah.
just like, haha, I'm gonna shield slash. Oh no, wait, I'm
Yeah.
not. Oh
I've
crap!
got the
And he
Jaeger
just kind of
model.
sits there, doesn't know what to
Yeah.
do. It's really good.
I've got the Jaeger model. Obviously, I've got one earlier. I've got him painted up. I'm looking at him in my cabinet. He's such a nice model. When you see him next to the rest of the range, it's beautiful. I can't wait for Vizier as well. But yeah, Jaeger's quite cool. Just getting on to Shan. Jeffrey's been playing double defenders because Shan's the defender where her stuff helps defenders. She provides cover for them and she can push them around. So he's been playing her with Thrommel. It's quite a
Oh,
nasty
brutal.
combo. Yeah, it
Yeah,
is. Yeah.
no, the double potential triple defender meta is coming, folks. It really is. It really is.
You
Like,
can see
be
why we have
aware of
this
this.
rule where defenders can't help defenders, because if you could, it would be a freaking
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
nightmare.
you just have this wrecking ball.
But
I'm sure one of the playtesters did it early on. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna play five defenders. Doop
yeah,
doop
we had to
doop.
well, it's actually very early on, we actually had SKU nights where we'd say, bring a SKU, please, bring five aggressors, bring five defenders, bring five
Yeah.
soldiers. And we wanted to see, and to be completely honest with you, I don't know whether it was a lot of it was luck, but we even early on the SKUs hardly worked. We found balanced stuff worked pretty much from the start. The defender one, I don't know whether we must have got it off a SKU. I'm pretty sure we must have, because I think what we found it wasn't necessarily fantastic at winning games, but it wrecked games. Like it was a negative play experience of having
Yeah.
this cluster of heroes that you just can't hurt, but they don't do anything. It's just like
Yeah.
I think that's how where it was spawned from, and it lets us just go nuts with defensive abilities, not worrying about them buffing themselves. So,
Yeah.
I mean, Marcus being able to
Absolutely.
make Thrommel at res 3, like with his defensive stance, it was just negative
No, thank you.
experiences. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, All right.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, that's anything else you wanted to talk about, George, before we've gone over an hour. It's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything for the week. The games, what's coming
Yeah.
up, and I think, yeah, there's a bright future ahead. I think people are getting all of their everyone's getting their Scorched Earth maps now, so
Yeah.
and getting some reps in on real tables with all the new models.
Yeah.
So that's super exciting. And now Jaeger's going to be hitting. It's going to be changing up the metagame pretty big,
He will.
and. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of movement and a lot of stuff on Discord,
Yeah, I think I
and
spoke a lot today,
obviously,
but it was probably because of the content. It was a bit more new.
this is
Yeah.
exactly this is, and obviously this month is in the theme of getting ready for patch day,
Patch,
so
yes.
it's
So we'll
going to
have a
be
big
exciting.
show when we do the patch, George. So
That'll
it'll
be
come
exciting.
out in 2 weeks. So what I might do is I'll give it to you early, and then we'll do a show pretty much in 2 weeks from today, which is when that we'll get
That's
released. Yeah.
the big patch show. That'll
Yeah.
be super
It'll be
exciting to talk
awesome.
about all the juicy new goodness.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, George. I'm glad you told me about your game, because then otherwise it was just me talking for the rest of it. But it was good to talk about that. Actually, I really enjoyed going through those heroes, where they came from. So it was quite cool.
Plus I think it's so fun to hear these stories, because normally you don't really hear these stories a lot, so it
Yeah.
was really nice to get a little sneak peek behind the scenes.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Great. Thank you, everybody. We'll put this up on Audio Boom, so it'll be available from all your different devices, pretty much in a couple in an hour or so. Thank you, George. For those, we are streaming a bit less. My work situation has changed. I got promoted, which is normally good news, but it wasn't really, because it means
Means
like
more work.
it means more work. But
Damn it.
never fear, we're still doing good stuff. We're going to be putting out regular content still, streaming. So I'm just trying to work out the best days to do that. But
Awesome.
yeah, the podcast is obviously still going strong. And please check out the Judgment Day podcast. That's a fan one from the guys in Oregon, northwest of the states, and they're really good. I'm really enjoying it. I'm actually going to be on their podcast in about 2 weeks, I think. They've given me a date. So I think in a couple of it, maybe two episodes, I'll be on the show. Can't wait for that. And yeah, we'll Judgmental is going to keep going strong, and I'll have George. We'll talk again next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stay active. We'll see you guys on the forums. Get painting, get playing, and show
Yeah.
us what you've got.
Yeah. Oh, the forum's actually going really good too.
Yeah, that's right.
Forum.judgment.game.
Yes. Don't
Yeah.
forget, guys, there is a
Yeah.
forum for
Yeah,
new
it's
goods.
going well.
Especially, it's especially nice for putting all your painting collection
Yeah.
pictures up
A
in one
couple of guys
thread.
have started threads already. So that's
Yeah.
forums. I think it's forum.judgment.game is the URL. And also, before I go, I forgot Liverpool won the Champions League this morning. So I'm a big Liverpool fan. So that was,
Go Liverpool.
I was excited. All right. Everyone had
Awesome.
a good, have a good week. And chat to you online, George. All right.
Yeah, take care. Thanks, and see you guys next time.
Bye.